Through the rest of this presentation, I'm going to focus on a new cosmic joke, a joke that is unfolding in biology right now. The consequences of this cosmic joke will have even more profound impact on human society than the acceptance of quantum mechanics. Because this new cosmic joke reveals something about ourselves as living organisms, how we relate to the environment, and how we relate to life. And why this becomes important for us is because it's knowledge of self. Remember, knowledge is power. Consequently, self-knowledge is self-empowerment. So, to set up this cosmic joke that is unfolding right now, I need to do a little backtracking and go back to the beginning of biology and start from there. It was less than 100 years after Isaac Newton established the formality of the science of physics, and then biology was created as its own individual formal science. However, biologists used the physics of Newton to understand the nature of biology. So the very first understanding is that all living things, such as the human body, represent physical machines. And according to the principles of the atomists and Newtonian physicists, it was understood that if you take this machine apart and see all the pieces and how they interact, you would understand how it works. And exactly this was the mission statement of science anyway. Remember, to dominate and control nature. So the nature of biologists was to follow through in that mission statement. However, before you can dominate and control nature, and although you see living organisms as machines, a very big understanding had to be found first. And that understanding is, what is it that actually controls the mechanism? Because if you want to control and dominate life, you have to identify where the natural control mechanism is in a living organism, and then that's what you would manipulate to alter the outcome of the living system. At the early days, René Descartes provided us with a concept that there's a mind and a body. And while some people, the vitalists especially, thought that the mind might be the energy, that soul or form that was in some sense controlling the physical body, physicists didn't agree with that. They considered the mind as an epiphenomenon, something that derives from the operation of the physical machine. But the mind itself was energy. And as energy in a physical world, it would not impact matter. That was a given in the rules of atomists, that matter can only affect matter. Since the mind is not matter, then the mind in no way can influence the life of the body in which it resides. So consequently, biologists let go of the influence of the mind on human biology. Even to this very day, it has been very difficult for scientists to incorporate the concept of a mind in the operation of living organisms. Biologists instead wanted to go into the matter of biology, looking at the physical things, because somewhere in that physical mechanism, there's a physical thing that actually represents the control. Nobody actually had an idea of what were the physical elements in the physical body that provided for this control. Around 1859, when Darwin released his theory of evolution on the origin of species, he included in there a discussion based on the fact that the organisms in our world carry traits, but the traits of an organism are related to the traits of the parents. And in that time in our history, many, many people were raising plants and animals, animal husbandry, all kinds of new agriculture was evolving, and people were very much involved with breeding plants and animals. So when Charles Darwin came up with the notion that the traits of an individual are controlled by the parents, then it became obvious that whatever is controlling the traits of a person, for example, must have been provided to them via the germ cells, because that was the physical thing that the parents provided that gave rise to the new offspring. So basically, it was suggested that somewhere in the germ cells, there's going to be some physical component that would end up controlling the traits of an individual. Well, the study of what was in the germ cells started in real intense effort right after Charles Darwin. However, it was around 1892 when August Weismann, a German scientist studying isolated cells, started to see structures that appeared just before the cell divided. These structures were called chromosomes, little thread-like structures that were found in the middle of the cell. And that as you watched the cell, the thread-like chromosomes were split into two groups, and each of the daughter cells received a complete set of these chromosomes. It was suggested by Weismann and then by others carrying out this research that indeed these little units, the chromosomes, represent represented the physical units of heredity. However, when scientists were able to isolate the chromosomes, they found they were comprised of two different components, protein and DNA. And the issue is, well, which of these components is actually the component involved with carrying the hereditary traits? Nobody was really clear. And while they started to look at how can you identify which one is the trait element, experiments started to be undertaken using cultured cells and isolating the protein and the DNA components from chromosomes. In fact, it ended up in 1944 where the results were finally apparent. For in that year, Avery, McLeod, and McCarty published research that revealed that when working with two species of bacteria, they could actually change the character of one species by employing the DNA from another species. Essentially, they set up petri dishes of species A and then added to these petri dishes either the protein from chromosomes of species B or the DNA from chromosomes from species B in an effort to see if one of those two components would carry the traits of species B into the cultures of species A. In the experiments, they found that the proteins from chromosomes of species B did not affect the morphology or development of species A. However, when they took the DNA from those chromosomes of species B and added it to the cultures of species A, the species A bacteria began to transform, expressing traits of species B. It was then that they fully understood that it was the DNA that was carrying the traits from one species to another. They finally found what they were looking for. They knew that the traits were controlled by something physical. They now found that it was the DNA, and that was the component of the chromosomes. And from then on, we started to look very actively, how can DNA do that?